and welcome to Columboys, a podcast all about the inherited scheming, cigar-exploding, paisley-beshirted world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and with me, looking resplendent in an Andre Corriger original, is Ben. Whether off to a day at the races or a quiet evening at the club, our man will surely be the envy of all. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Mac. That is not what I'm wearing, but thanks.
You're welcome. This week, we'll be taking a look at the sixth episode of the first season, Short Fuse. Appearing in this episode is Valerie, the victim's personal assistant, is Anne Francis, who appeared in Forbidden Planet with Columbo alumni Leslie Nielsen.
Hey.
And also Robbie the Robot, who has an IMDb page for some fucking reason. Okay,
This is not the first time you mentioned Robbie.
Seeing as I've covered that in detail, let's talk briefly about Apes. This episode stars Roddy fucking McDowell as the heir to a chemical company who murders his uncle. Roddy McDowell is perhaps best known as Cornelius from the original Planet of the Apes series, starring opposite Kim Hunter, who'd appeared in season one, episode four, Suitable for Framing. She was Zira. James Gregory, playing the murdered uncle, also appeared as a gorilla in Beneath the Planet of the Apes, the film in which the Earth is destroyed, and yet somehow the series continued for two more movies.
I mean,
this episode also starred William Wyndham as he was the president of the board, the Logan guy.
Oh, okay, right.
He played the prosecutor in To Kill a Mockingbird, as well as the president in Escape from the Planet of the Apes, the film where Roddy McDowell and Kim Hunter's talking chimpanzees travel back in time and become socialites. Roddy McDowell has since passed on, but he left behind him a legacy of movies about talking chimps who inexplicably travel to the 20th century and become celebrities.
That's a legacy.
It sure is.
It's a kind of legacy.
It's, yeah. I think I remember Roddy McDowell more from Batman the Animated Series. I think most people my age probably do.
What did
he do? He's the Mad Hatter.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mac, this is kind of a sleepy one.
This is maybe the most boring episode of Columbo we've seen so far.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not...
It culminates in probably one of the best individual scenes in Columbo. I think that finale is really good.
I think it's a pretty solid...
Yeah, so we should lay down, I guess, the plot, the basic plot.
Stanford Chemicals!
Yes, there's a chemical company which Roddy McDowell's parents established
his deceased parents.
Mm-hmm. He has been taken in by his aunt, mm-hmm, and his uncle by marriage, who he hates.
Yes.
And his uncle, he's, I guess, been a bit of a wild one. He was a wild child.
Right.
And his uncle wants him out of the business. And so he has a bunch of like blackmail information on Roddy McDowell.
Using to pressure him into convincing his aunt to sell the company.
Right.
Since she is...
She's the one who owns it. And I think...
Yeah. Well, I think she's the biggest stockholder is the vibe.
Right, something like that. Yeah. I think
she has controlling stock.
She has controlling stock, and Roger, which is the Roddy McDowell character, has. I think he also owns it, but could contest it.
He could put a wrench in it. But if I remember right, I think a lot of that has to do with the influence he has over his aunt, who is undecided.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it also has something to do with the fact that he only has one pair of pants.
I don't think that actually plays as much into the plot as it does.
No,
into
I don't
our,
think that has anything to
watching
do with it,
of the film,
other than the fact that we had to continue to look at him in those pants.
So he sets up. He creates a exploding cigar.
That's right.
Not in a fun Looney Tunes sort of way. Mm-hmm. It's more of a murdery sort of way.
Right.
And then he has a triggering mechanism that. 1 minute and 5 seconds after you open this cigar tin, the cigar will explode,
right,
and it'll, you know, kill the people who are nearby. And his uncle takes the cigars on a very long, windy mountain road.
Right, on the way up to some
on the way up to some
that they own.
Yep, and opens the box and explodes.
And boom, baby.
And then a lot
murdering
of...
murdering him and his ex-cop now...
Yes.
Secret PI slash chauffeur.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Beyond like that very basic plot, there's really not a lot that goes on during this episode.
There isn't much.
It's pretty boring.
It doesn't really feel like it's making a lot of progress through.
No.
I think the course of the show.
We got towards the end of it, and at one point you had to rewind it because we were talking and you missed a plot thing. And that's when I realized that we were an hour in, and it didn't feel like any progress had been made on the case really
at all.
That's
correct. Yeah, it was very much, I mean, kind of once we got the murder, which, by the way, had some really weird music choices. Because they're driving on that windy road.
It was funky 60s music because Roddy McDowell's character at the same time is at the swinging club.
Right, the swinging club with the lady dancing inside a cage. Yep. That's not weird at all.
It was very very laughing.
Yeah,
that period.
Yeah, hanging out with his uncle's secretary.
His uncle's secretary. It's weird. It was just a weird episode.
It's very weird.
I think the problem is that other than figuring out that he used a bomb, which he does pretty quickly, like he figures out that something blew up inside the thing pretty quickly. But,
yeah, I would say almost immediately.
But there's no evidence of it. Like he doesn't have the box. He doesn't have any of the stuff. So nothing really changes throughout the episode, like from the beginning to the end. The only thing that really happens is that at one point Roddy McDowell invents this sort of blackmail plot on the
It's very late in the game, and it's almost like a subplot that is just dead space for so long, because when he comes back after the night that he's been at the club watching his, you know, his watch, going, okay, well, he surely must be blown up by now because he would have reached for a cigar.
Right.
Then he goes back and he steals the typewriter from Quincy's place. Quincy being the chauffeur / PI.
Yeah. Why did he do? Oh, he did that so he could type up
fake stuff,
right,
and then plant it in Quincy's second space along with the typewriter. However, that's like, yeah, they touch on it, I think, once, and then it's just kind of not.
Yeah.
They don't really do
a whole
lot. There's
like 40 minutes of just kind of dead air.
Yeah. And it's a very, very slow-paced episode, I would say.
Yeah. And it all culminates in this final scene, which I think is actually pretty excellent.
Yeah, it's a pretty good scene.
Where there's this long, so there are two ways up to this cabin, which is where the murdered guy was going.
Right.
And one is this long, windy, dangerous
road that he was on.
Right. And then the other way is this incredibly quick tram that just takes you right to the top.
Right.
It's not really clear
It's like a 15-minute tram ride.
But it's not really clear to me exactly what this tram is going to.
Yeah.
Like, it seems to be a tourist thing, because at one point there are kind of touristy people there, but it also seems like it's home, like cabins.
Right.
It's very unclear exactly where this is.
They just don't show us enough of it, but it's assumed to be some kind of mountain retreat town.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
So they get on this tram, which Columbo's already established he hates because he doesn't like heights.
Because he doesn't like heights, and they really needed to hammer that home for us. So we got a lot of really terrible ADR. Well, he looks hot and bothered, and the cop is never facing the camera when he's talking.
Yeah. So he gets the Logan, who is the now president of the company.
That's right.
But not CEO. He's the CEO. I believe Logan is the president.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how that
happened. He gets Logan and Columbo and Roddy McDowell.
Roger
into this tram, and they're going up the thing, and he says, oh, we found something that is gonna blow this case wide open.
Yeah, we found something in the wreck.
I thought that the cigar case must have blown up, but here it is. And he pulls out this charred, damaged cigar case, and he says, well, obviously, and it's closed. It's still got the tape on it. It's still sealed. So he says, well, obviously, it couldn't have exploded because here it is. And Roddy McDowell doesn't know that he switched it. And so after Columbo opens it, Roddy McDowell flips out and tries to get it all back together. But it turns out it was just a normal case of cigars.
He incriminated himself.
I'm not entirely sure how you try that case.
Right. Well, I think that becomes you have a witness, and you know there's this display of consciousness of guilt. But even that is that's not the same as evidence.
It's not really evidence. You kind of would have to prove that he could have done this, and also that he had reason to believe that it was. Like it's weird. Like he's got him.
Yeah,
he does have him, but from a psychological perspective. Right.
But whether or not he has him
legally
in a court of law,
that's a different thing.
Which I kind of get the impression that's how it's going to go for a lot of Columbo episodes, but possibly. Maybe not.
Yeah, I think maybe he just breaks Roddy McDowell. This might be a case where maybe we don't see afterwards, but he confesses to the whole thing.
Right.
Because at the very end, Roddy McDowell, he's laughing maniacally,
yeah.
And has sort of gone a little crazy.
Yeah, he's clearly kind of given up the ghost at that point.
Yep. Interesting fact here, according to IMDb, Roddy McDowell is the only character to be apprehended by both Columbo and Batman.
Hey.
Because he played a character on the original Batman
animated series.
Original Batman. He was on the Adam West as a villain of some sort.
Oh.
And then also, yes, he was also the Mad Hatter. So he's been apprehended by multiple Batmans and also Columbo.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's a pedigree.
Yeah, he's a good villain. I would say he's he makes a good villain. This isn't necessarily a good script.
Yeah, this isn't. I think he could have been an okay villain, but I don't think. I don't think this did him many favors on that front. Because it's like the setup and everything makes sense, but then there's just kind of nothing going on through all that dead space that could have been character space.
Yeah.
And it's also weird because every time he sort of seems to take a dig at Columbo, it's like he slips into baby voice. Oh, did you get a boo-boo? Like, he's not quite that bad, but he's sort of in that space.
Does not respect Columbo as an investigator or, like, really seem to take him seriously until the very end.
No, he definitely does.
Or actually, I don't even know if he does even at the end. I think he just is completely contemptuous of him the whole way through and doesn't really recognize until the last moment that he's been tricked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right after he completely freaks out and then Columbo just comments that he, you know, got the cigar box from the office and not actually from
the wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's fun. Just thinking about like we both talked about how much we love Columbo, and they're like, I just feel like the last couple episodes we've been like,
I think it's okay to like Columbo and still acknowledge when it kind of punches you in the face with a less than great episode.
Yeah, I just spent a lot of time looking at Roddy McDowell's
package.
Very, very clearly outlined penis in his pants. Like,
oh yeah,
can just see the whole thing.
I mean, if everybody wants to know posthumously, you know. What was going on there?
What was he packing?
All here.
It's like shrink wrapped.
Yeah, like it's all right.
It's like vacuum sealed. It's like
bad enough.
You know
that
those like those bags that you use to like pack your clothing and then you like suck out all the thing. That's like his pants,
like
basically.
Space bags.
Yeah, space bag. Yeah. But like for your dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's just say when you see where it is, and then do the math, you go, oh. Testicles are not supposed to do that. That's not how that should.
He has like a camel toe, but like for men.
It's more like a
trademark. Yeah. TMTM. Camel toe for men.
No. It's more like you take like a I'm trying to think. You know what? That's a sign that I should stop.
Yeah.
Suffice to say that it looks really uncomfortable.
It looks incredibly uncomfortable.
Super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
However, his butt does look rocking in those pants.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Like, there is nothing left to the imagination in his hip area at all.
It's really him just, like, saying, here's what I'm working with. Like, you know, if you're down for this, like, this is what it is.
And I'm just saying, you gotta give that up for, you know, for the 70s.
Yeah.
They definitely brought that, brought everything into play.
The 70s were not about subtlety in clothing. It was big hair, tight pants.
Yeah,
you know, showing off everything.
Yep. Well, because he had that, and then he had like the what was it? He had like the denim leisure suit.
Yep. He had a
full flare bell bottoms and like the high. Like,
he had a
full on
Canadian tuxedo.
Like, yeah,
he's wearing paisley shirts. I think in every single
Please.
Shot.
Hold on now, at least two of those were blouses.
Yeah, that's true. They were very blousy shirts.
They were nigh Elizabethan.
Yeah, he at one point he's wearing, I don't know that there's any way to, other way to say it, but a suede Alexander Hamilton coat, pretty much.
Yeah, kind of. Okay, so it's somewhere between a like revolutionary era like military officer coat and the jacket from The Rocketeer.
Yeah,
but with a little bit of a flare, and it stopped somewhere along his thigh, but not really half thigh. It was just enough to cover his butt.
And it had those floppy second lapels, like when you have the lapel and then you've got that like floppy middle stage. I don't know what you call that, but
I mean, it's just, it's a double breasted, so it's got, so you get that kind of.
No, but I mean, in addition to the, it had like a notch, like.
Oh, another.
An additional kind of flappy part.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, from that like uniquely sort of 60s and 70s era where you get the really elongated oversized collars and things with that kind of rounded.
But then an additional like just triangle of fabric for no reason.
Well, I mean, you know, because fashion.
For fashion. Absolutely.
I mean, the suede looked nice. It was definitely a weird jacket, but not his worst look, I'll say.
What would you say is his worst look?
Probably that paisley blouse.
The paisley blouse?
Yeah.
I thought his suit was nice. When he showed up in his like yellow shirt, black suit.
It's like a dark brown.
Yeah.
Like a really dark brown, and then like the yellow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very 70s palette is what we're saying.
Yeah. But well cut. It was like, he was always wearing things that were like,
They were well fitted.
Yes, exactly. Those pants especially.
Oh, yeah.
They were fitted within an inch of his life.
Oh, yeah.
Then it looked like about 4.5 inch of his life. we're talking about his dick, y'all.
Dick jokes.
Dick jokes.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of what else. But yeah, it really.
What
it
are we just, at? Is this going to be the shortest episode of Columboys ever?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, honestly, it was just. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just slow, and it's not that, you know, it's not that the actors aren't good. It's just there was so much, like, looking back at it, I'm like, well, nothing really happened here. Nothing really happened there.
There are a lot.
He was kind of condescending here.
Yeah,
that's about it.
There's a lot of like weird stuff around the periphery, like the CEO uncle guy has a framed photocopy, like a photo of a painting of him.
Yeah,
of his headshot.
Well, it's in color now.
Right.
I mean, so it's not.
Well, it is a framed. It's a photo reproduction. It's of a painting.
Of an oil painting.
Oil painting
of him
on his own desk.
Right.
Which later, you know, after he's been killed, Roddy McDowell, you know, like
puts it down when
so
he's
it's
like,
not facing
obviously
him.
This is my office now.
But it's so weird that it's there in the earlier scenes of him. It's on his own desk facing him.
Right.
And then later there's a scene that takes place in his house.
Where it's the photo.
It's the photo
that the painting was clearly
is based on.
Right.
Which is just sitting on, which is very clearly that actor's headshot.
Right.
Like that is very clearly a promotional still from something like 5-10 years previous.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what that's supposed to convey when we see it on his desk. Like, is it that he's full of, I don't know.
Maybe that he's full of himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the best I've got there. Other than that's hilarious.
It's weird. It's a
very
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about this one. I think if you're going through Columbo episode by episode and you just want to hit the hot ones, you can probably skip this one.
Yeah,
I want to watch that last scene.
You know,
it's kind of interesting, but
yeah,
I don't know that precedes it is worth it.
Mac, I really like the show a lot, but honestly, I'm thinking about this one. Well, I'm just thinking about it, and it's like, well, I guess you could watch up to the point that he, you know, blows up in the car.
Yeah.
And then you could watch that last scene, but I think you're right. You kind of could just watch that last scene and watch Roddy lose his cool.
Yeah, because it's a good little acting moment.
Yeah, and that's some of the best stuff in this. I don't think it's that bad that I would be like, no, you should definitely skip this. But it's just kind of unremarkable.
Yeah, it's not. I wouldn't say it's Ransom for a Dead Man, which was actively not very good.
Yeah,
but it's just kind of. workmanlike, I would say. It's, you know,
it's adequate.
This is a good one to put on and
do something else.
Do something else. I think maybe of all the Columbos that we've watched.
Yeah. If you have this one on and you're doing other stuff,
you're not going to miss anything, really.
Probably the time you go, wait, what was that? And you rewind it. That's probably the only thing you missed in the whole time that you were cleaning while it was on.
Yeah, for sure. This is a good one to do while you check your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement. I really wanted to get the energy up on this one, but a bit of behind the scenes. This is the first one we've released post our podcast actually coming out.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're you know, following along with us, you know, we're
a little ahead.
We're way ahead.
We might have a bit of a buffer, but
this one's
short fuse is really.
I know. I was like, but I've been listening to those episodes. I was like, this is the one we're gonna get the energy up. We're really gonna get going. And then I came in here, and I literally almost fell asleep like while we were watching this one.
I mean, I didn't because I haven't seen it yet. But
yeah, I mean, but I haven't seen it in a little while, and still it was pretty boring.
Yeah, it was a little languid.
Yep.
I'm still trying to think of like if there's anything really critical, but we covered it.
I think we've gotten all the meat off
that
bone.
Jacket.
We talked about Ryan McDowell's dick.
Yep. Paisley blouse. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's really not
much else to say. Well.
Yeah. Damn. What a glowing review.
This is bad podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Just a couple of guys who are like,
hey, listen, we knew we were going to go through this whole
thing. No, that's true. And
you
is
knew
the thing.
At least, because you're ahead of me in the process.
I mean, this is the problem is that when we get to the 90s, they're going to be bad in a way that will be interesting and fun for us to talk about. But this one is not bad. It's just dull.
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily fun to discuss.
Right. Well, that's the thing is because it. I also don't know if it would be much improved by having those commercial breaks be real commercial breaks. By the way, that was a real weird, overt commercial break.
Yeah,
just the one.
There are a couple like edit points where it's very clear that something is going to be revealed after this break, and there's like a weird edit point.
There's just one where there's like a super weird like focus thing. I think they do. Right,
yeah, it's probably the first one in the ones that we've watched so far that was very so overt.
Yeah,
that wasn't just like a scene transition or something like that. Because I think that's probably where most of the commercials lies, like after a scene there'll be a music swell and then some commercials.
You have that kind of like, and this idea that there's enough tension to write
this is it's kind of more of a modern TV like thing, mm-hmm. because it's like here's the reveal and then it blurs and fades out,
right,
and then it blurs back and then ba-da-da-da.
So I guess what I'm saying is if you really want to watch this, maybe insert old 60s commercials.
What you should do is just periodically pause it and then watch like some Twinkie the Kid commercials.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
That's clearly the
thing. That's how you do it.
Because then when you come back to it, you'll spend all that dead time trying to remember what was going on.
Yeah.
Boy,
just make it harder and less interesting is what you should do.
That felt much meaner than I meant it to sound. Because, again, it's not that I disliked it. I just found it more dull than the other episodes we have seen.
It's
so
more
far.
Dull than interesting, unfortunately.
Right.
And
maybe that's the best I can say. So let's stop there.
Yeah, I think we should probably stop.
Before I dig myself a deeper hole and keep talking about Roddy's penis.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us anyway. I've been Mac.
I'm Ben.
And one more thing.
Yeah?
Roddy McDowell's dick.
Yeah. Leaning a little to the left.
This is the worst.
Yeah.
Podcast canceled. No more Roddy McDowell's dick talk.
Okay. Well, we won't see it next week.
I'm going to see it forever.
Oh,
it's going to be ingrained in my brain for the rest of my
life.
I'll
get you, Mac, I will have an oil painting made of it for you.
Oh, God.
And then you can keep it on your desk. Sorry, you can keep a photo of the oil painting on your desk.
Play the theme song.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at Dandy Geek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.
I mean, I was just thinking about his squashed plums.
It's like they're being held firmly in a hand.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
So it's like, have you ever watched like when somebody hits a racquetball and it's shot? It's like filmed in super high speed.
Jesus fucking.
Okay. You know that point where it flattens out the most? That is what his testicles look like in those pants.
Jesus fucking Christ! None of this is usable.
No, that's...
This is all going after... This is the after the stinger, absolutely.
This is Columboys after dark.
100% stinger material right now. God damn it.